This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Mr. Oster is waiting in the wings, and of course, we're streaming this live, the Metropolitan Window video screen, kdkradio.com. Click on KDKA Watch, and you can listen and watch at the same time. Now, here's what we're going to do to begin. 10th caller, 412-922-1020. 10th caller now wins that amazing $25 gift certificate. Randy and company out that incredible place in Wexford that is Sorgles, 412-922-1020. But we got a guest coming up shortly, so we're going to open the phones up right now. If you have any gardening questions and you'd like to jump in here, give us a call, 866-391-1020. So it was warm. Now it's a little chilly. But it won't be long. It'll be April. April showers bring Mayflowers and hopefully warmer weather. But get ready to start gardening, and it is his time of year. So without further ado, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Good morning.
You cut your grass already?
See, I was just telling you that. I did. Friday night, 6 o'clock. I just felt like doing it, and it really wasn't necessary.
Was there anything to cut?
You know what's really funny? Peeked out the kitchen window after I cut it, feeling pretty good about myself, like 7 o'clock, still a little daylight. Didn't even look like I did anything. So there must not have been any grass to cut.
It is therapeutic, though, isn't it?
Oh, Doug, it was just so nice
to be
out
there. You've got the same mower I do, right? The battery?
Yeah. Beautiful, man.
Quiet.
Little Toro action. It's amazing. It's just...
I don't think it's a Toro, but...
Yeah, mine is.
Are you sure?
Yeah. What do you have, Black & Decker?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I have Toro.
Okay.
But anyway, here's what Andy told me, which I didn't realize. The traditional combustible engine, same size, is like 75 pounds. Mine, 35 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, it makes all the difference in the world when you're cutting your grass. I always hated cutting the grass, but that battery-powered one.
Oh, but
you could do it after the show on Sunday morning and people wouldn't know.
Now, listen, here's the other thing. So I go out about a couple of days beforehand looking for something to do. I took the blower down. The battery was in it from like last November. The other ones were being charged. I said, what the heck? Fired right up. Worked. And I mean, it was like I had just left the garage yesterday, but I'm back in it months later. Battery in the lawnmower. It was like no cleanup, no fuss, no muss. Good to go.
That's what's nice about them.
Yeah. I mean, just easy access. You're not fumbling around. You don't have to go fill up the gas tank. It's all good.
All right. Peas are planted and actually coming up, if you could believe that, when it was 29 degrees this morning. They don't care. These cool weather crops, they do not care at all. Next are pansies. Nurseries are going to have flats of pansies, and they love cold weather too. I will fill up my containers with pansies, and those will go all the way until July 4th. On July 4th, they come out, and I get the annuals half price because they're all on sale. And daffodils blooming. Oh, man. Yesterday, I was working on the computer, and I was just like, I kept thinking about those daffodils. I said, I'm just taking a break. Went out. And when you pick your daffodils, you're not cutting them. you're picking them. You have to reach down to the bottom. They'll last longer and just pull it from the bottom and you'll get kind of a little spongy, solid thing on the bottom of the stem. So do it that way. But I started walking up the hill and I saw my old neighbor's daffodils, who he passed away. It's been a while, maybe 5 years. We were good gardening buds. And he always said, I've got daffodils on your side of the property line. When you go up there and pick them, think of me. And I did think of him. We had a lot of good garden talks, that's for sure. A great neighbor, and used to sit on the property line, have a cold beer, and just talk about gardening. Besides the daffodils blooming, we've got some crocus out there, and then something called winter aconite. I posted a picture of winter aconite on my Facebook page, and people really reacted. It's a very, very easy plant to grow. It's something that we plant in the fall as a bulb, and it just kind of takes over and has these little orange flowers, and not here long, but long enough to enjoy it. Glory of the Snow is out there. I was actually last week at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden for our seasonal botanic walk and talk. They had lots of glorious snow. It's a blue flower, forms a beautiful colony. The deer don't like it. This is the time to look at what's blooming and what isn't out there in the garden and make a note so you know what to plant in the fall. You should be planting bulbs in the fall. This is the payoff for planting in the fall when you do all that work. For people that have sent for seeds for the Pittsburgh Preservation Project, I sent out a whole batch of seeds the other day. You should have them. That project goes on until April 1st. It's three of my favorite tomatoes that I'm giving away the seeds for. One is Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top, 3945, found on the battlefield of World War II. And then Dr. Jim Snow. And I filled lots of orders and still doing it until April 1st. My free garden classes continue for Farm to Table, Buy Fresh, Buy Local, every Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Cost you absolutely nothing. We have a blast for an hour. This week, it's all about planting perennials, trees, and shrubs. And Rob, why don't we go to the phones, and then we'll see what we've got there.
All right, 866-391-1020. First come, first serve. The early bird gets the worm. Talking gardening in the first segment. Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener. First stop to the South Hills. Here's Mary on KDK. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have a question. I have a catmint plant that I only planted last June, and I have to transplant it because it's close to a Russian sage. When is the best time to transplant that?
I'd wait a little bit till things warm up a little bit. We're still in, you know, you can't kill a plant like that, but we're still in a point here where we're going to get some very, very cold weather. I would wait until we're into first week, second week of April, till things kind of normalize a little bit. What made you plant that?
Well, I just, it's one of the things that deer don't eat.
And that'll do it.
Yes. So I just wanted the color. Do you have any suggestions for annuals, the best ones to plant that are deer resistant?
Yes, definitely. Start with salvias. Anything from the salvia family. That's what I'm growing out in an area of the woodlands where they walk right out and walk right past it. There are lots of different salvias. They don't have to have full sun. They can do it with a part sun, part shade, and many different colors, blues, reds, purples, so very easy to grow. That'd be my first suggestion. Then there's something called a nasturtium. Are you familiar with that one?
Yes.
Okay, so nasturtiums have a fragrance to them and kind of a spicy flavor. And the deer don't enjoy those. Let's think of a couple other annuals that I would plant out there that they wouldn't eat. Trying to think. I'll come up with a couple others as we go on here in the show. But definitely salvia, nasturtiums.
Is there any climbers? Because I planted a mandevilla last year, and I'm thinking that the deer would not eat them, but they did.
Yeah, I mean, actually, they'll eat just about anything. Even the things that we say that are deer resistant, they will eat. And these are things they don't prefer. In my situation, they've never touched that salvia and in my garden. That doesn't mean they won't touch it in your garden. And so these are just things that we try. Think of things. Oh, you know, another one that's really good. They call it spider flower, but cleome. That one is really easy to grow from seed, and it will self-sow. It has little thorns on it, and it's a really cool plant. Mm-hmm. They grow about 3 foot tall, and they have kind of a globe on the top, and it's white or pink or maybe a purplish one. That's one that they won't eat. Again, it has a fragrance, not the best fragrance in the world, but anything we can grow to keep the deer at bay is a plus, right?
Right. What did you say the name was? Cleome.
Yes, C-L-E-O-M-E, Cleome. Spider
right.
flower.
Thank you for the call, Mary. Got to take a break. What's on the other side?
We're going to talk with my friend Ellen Zakos, and this is an amazing garden book called Mythic Plants. It's all about the Greek mythology and plants. I loved this book, and when I posted it on Facebook, I got a lot of response from it, so we're going to talk to Ellen as soon as we come back.
We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Stay with us. It is your Pratt Package Sunday morning at KDKA.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm very excited to welcome Ellen Zakos back to the show. She is a Harvard graduate, a former Broadway performer, and a Greek-American horticulturalist who enjoys nothing more than regaling anyone who will listen with stories about fascinating plants. And I can tell you that's true. She is the author of Mythic Plants, Potions and Poisons from the Gardens of the Gods. Ellen, welcome to the show. It's so great to see you and talk to you again.
Thank you for having me back, Doug. And I'm very happy to be here.
This is her 11th book. Ellen, 11 books?
I love writing. I don't know what to tell you. Some people say, oh, it's so hard. I can't get myself to sit down in the chair. I just love it, Doug. I mean, writing this book, I spent hours every day in front of my computer and the time flew by.
Well, let me tell you, this book is amazing. If you enjoy mythology in any way, you are going to go head over heels for this book. Tell us what Mythic Plants is.
Well, Mythic Plants, the elevator pitch is it's about plants in Greek mythology, but also in Greek literature, real literature like the Iliad and the Odyssey, which may not be entirely factual, but isn't entirely mythological either. And the idea is that back in the days of the ancient Greeks, plants were used for everything, for food, for medicine, for magic, for weapons. You name it, there was a plant involved. And the stories are just so interesting.
So why mythic plants for you? And I had talked to you maybe 6 months ago, and you told me about what inspired you, but tell us what inspired you.
I don't remember what I told you 6 months ago, Doug. I'm so sorry. But my answer today is, you know, growing up, I felt a special connection to Greek mythology because I'm Greek, and they're great stories. And who doesn't love a great story? I mean, we all know stories stick with us. If you can teach somebody something with a story, they're going to remember what it is that you taught them. So I had this initial love of the stories. And when I became a gardener and an official plant person, I just was fascinated by how these plants were used so many thousands of years ago. So I gave a talk on it at Cornell about 20 years back, and everybody was like, "Oh, do you have a book on this?" And I didn't, but now I do.
And I'm going to start off with grapes.
Oh yeah.
And specifically women and wine. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Maenads?
Excellent pronunciation, okay, Doug. Maenads, way to go.
Tell me about maenads.
Okay. So the maenads were the followers of Dionysus, and Dionysus was the god of wine. And the maenads were these women who left their homes, left their children, their husbands, all their wifely duties, and followed Dionysus. And they were fearsome. They carried these staffs. And if you disrespected Dionysus, they would tear you limb from limb or beat you with their staffs. And interestingly, those were pretty much the only women in ancient Greece who were known to drink wine, because most of the times women were not allowed to drink wine because ancient Greek men thought that ancient Greek women were just like licentious wenches who with a sip of wine would become all randy and forget about, you know, proper behavior.
Well, we're going to take it from wine to marijuana and opium.
Okay, the big three. So cannabis was definitely used in ancient Greece, both as a drug and as a medicine. But the most interesting way it was used, I think, was we've all heard of the oracle at Delphi, right? You've heard of that oracle.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another oracle in the north of Greece called the Oracle of the Dead. And people would go there to ask questions of their dearly departed. And they would go for a couple weeks and eat a special diet to cleanse their bodies. And some people think that the food contained some cannabis, but they know that hash was burned at night to give the visitors very vivid dreams and perhaps make them believe that they had spoken with their dead relatives and asked them the questions that they needed to ask. And it was also used, you know, just to get high.
And for opium, we can grow those poppies. It's okay, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I would say if you're a gardener and you think they're beautiful plants, absolutely, you can grow opium poppies. Just when you talk about it with your friends, call them seed poppies or bread poppies.
Talk a little bit about the fun of your research, of finding these stories and connecting these ancient myths to plants that we still see today.
Yeah, that was the really cool thing. I thought I had an idea of what I was going to write about, and I knew some of these stories, but as I sat down to do my research, there was so much more that I didn't know, so much more that I learned. And one of the great things about working on this during the pandemic was a lot of the library resources that had been limited prior to the pandemic opened up for people to use online during the pandemic. So I was able to access all this material from the National Institute of Health, from PubMed, from all of these peer-reviewed scientific journals. And I was astonished at how many of the plants that were used for medicine in ancient Greece, actually modern research has proved that they work even today and has disproved some. You know, a lot of people think that Vitex is good for women's reproductive health. And in fact, scientific research has shown it does nothing for any of that. But there are other plants that have been shown to have the properties the ancient Greeks actually thought they had, which is very cool, I think.
And I know you are an expert forager and teach foraging. We've had you on the show to talk about that before. And there's a little mention in the book about mugwort. And the last time you were on the show, you mentioned mugwort. How does it relate to those ancient times?
Well, I use mugwort today as a spice and a food item, but mugwort's Latin name, it's in the genus Artemisia, and Artemisia was named after the goddess Artemis, who was the goddess of the hunt. And mugwort was actually smoked and eaten at her festivals and was supposed to give people very vivid dreams and allow them to commune with the goddess. Today, some herbalists still smoke mugwort for the dream activation. That's not something I do. I'm not an herbalist. I really am just interested in the food, not the medicine for myself. But I think the stories about the medicine are pretty interesting.
All right, Ellen, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I want to explore the topic of figs in mythology.
All right, 10th caller wins it right now. Janowski's 412-922-1020. And now back to Doug.
We're back with my guest, Ellen Zakos. She's the author of Mythic Plants, Potions and Poisons from the Gardens of the Gods. And Ellen, we can't talk about Greek mythology without mentioning figs.
That is true. First of all, figs were really important in Greece because not only were they delicious, but they could be dried and preserved for times of famine or when food supplies were short. And there were actually specific laws in ancient Greece about whether you could export figs, what happened if you picked a fig before it was ripe, you would have to pay a fine. Even if it was from your own fig tree, you couldn't pick it before it was ripe. And if you picked it from somebody else's tree, the fine was much larger. And if an enslaved person picked a fig, they would get whipped. The exception was, Doug, if you were traveling through my property in Greece and you picked from my fig tree, it was okay because that was a gesture of what they called philoxenia, which was love of strangers. And because you were passing through my land, it was only friendly and respectful of me to say, yes, you may eat my figs, but don't go overboard.
What was the most difficult thing for you in putting the book together?
Knowing when to stop was hard because there were so many stories, but you know, you only get a limited number of pages in a book. And, you know, I'm never sure if the things that I think are fascinating are going to be fascinating to other people. So I'm glad to know that you found it interesting. But I think reining myself in, you can tell I'm very excited about this topic. So reining myself in was difficult.
Well, just for me in high school, I was a terrible student, but a teacher inspired me with mythology. And so in reading your book, I was first just brought back to all these characters and many of the stories. But now in my life as a plant person, you know, when you add the plants in there too, I think you wrote this book specifically for me.
I did, Doug. I wrote it just for you.
Before I let you go, we have to talk about, as spring is upon us here in the East, Narcissus.
I'm so glad. Yeah. You know, Narcissus for us, you said it's just come, it's spring. The foliage is starting to come up. For us, it's like this wonderful sign of warmth and sun. But in ancient Greece, it was often associated with the dead because it was the plant that Zeus and his brother Hades used to kidnap Persephone and bring her down to the underworld to be queen of the dead. So it was not, it was, you know, a flower that was attached to a lot of sorrow. It was beautiful. It was sacred, but it often symbolized death and sadness, which is totally the opposite of how we feel about it when we see it today.
What do you want people to get out of this book?
I want people to know that plants have amazing histories, that they've been used and loved and respected for thousands of years. And even though some of the stories about them sound completely frivolous and fantastic, there are often more than just a grain of truth to those ancient stories.
What is the best way for people to get Mythic Plants and to connect with you?
They can connect with me through my website, which is simply mythicplants.com, all one word. You can order a signed copy from me there. You can get it for less money and no postage, probably, from Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or your independent bookstore. And you can also order it directly from my publisher, which is hachette.com, H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E.com.
I'll have all that information also linked at DougOster.com. Ellen Zakos is the author of Mythic Plants, Potions and Poisons from the Gardens of the Gods. It is one of my favorite garden books ever written, as as is The Backyard Forager. I love what you do, Ellen, and the book is also beautiful.
It is, yeah.
Besides having all that great information, it's beautiful. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show. I miss you. I hope to see you in person sometime soon.
I hope to see you too, Doug. Thank you so much for having me on.
These people must love you to get up this early.
Well, I'll tell you what, I see a lot of gardening books, okay?
You read these things?
I will if I start off with it and it has it's written well in the beginning. If it's not, if you know, there's lots of different gardening books out there where they're passion projects or they're just, I have money and...
Well, let me just ask you something because you're the journalist. Do people really make money writing books today?
Yeah.
I'm so much into everything. I mean, my whole life is information. It's constant, 24/7. When my eyes open, even this morning, 1:30, I'm right on it. I can't imagine sitting down and reading a whole book. I mean, it's got to be something that... How do you connect?
I'm reading one that I can only read online.
Well, that's the journalist.
Because the book is so old, it's impossible to find.
But what? How do you make money doing that?
You sell books. You sell books. You go on the radio station in Pittsburgh. You go on the radio station in Indianapolis. You go on social media somewhere.
So there's still, like my daughter, she's a ferocious reader. I think this past summer she read like 30 books. So there is still a market with all the social media and everything.
And a lot of people that love to sit down and read a book. Hmm. And, you know, many people read it on a Kindle or a tablet or something. So
I mean, I think it's a great way to learn and obviously be a sponge and to get a different perspective. But I just, with everything that's out there, I mean, even your show, do you realize what you do on your website? Your website is enough to keep people informed 24/7.
Well, I'm not much of a reader.
And it's free.
Yeah, I'm not much of a reader. But I, you know, my wife is always reading a book. Jessica's always reading a book.
Oh, she can write a good book, too.
Yeah. And I'm not writing another book. I'm like, yeah. When Ellen said that, like, she says, I just love to sit down and write. And people say, like, it's so hard and everything. I can't picture myself sitting. It's not the writing. I'd love to write a book.
Other than my life story, does Stephen King really have much left? I mean, and like the Norman Mailers of the world and the Ernest Hemingways, do they still exist?
I'm sure they do.
I mean, I want them to.
I'm sure they do.
I don't know. We so much information out there.
I know, but you're getting away, I think, from the information. For me, it's fishing in a kayak. That gets you away
now,
from...
Would you read a book about fishing, and if it piqued your interest, like a book on that? Would you sit down and read a book
Probably
on that?
Probably not. Probably not. I'm just not a reader.
Yeah. How can you not be a reader for as smart as you are? Yeah,
I'm not smart. I'm dumb.
I highly doubt
that. I am dumb.
I mean, you're...
Like you.
Thank you.
No, I mean that it's the work ethic.
I love information all day long. In fact, I just told you, I haven't turned my TV on at home in 3 days. I can't believe that never would have happened, at least just for the pictures. But I love information. I love business. I love gardening. And I don't know anything about gardening. I just love information. But to read a whole book on something, I don't know. I just hope there is a market for it because my mother
said... Well, they're still putting them out. I'm sorry, my mother said
it saved her life, raising six kids, being able to get to that novel at the end of the day.
Everybody needs something to get away from all this information. And it's not like this is anything new. In the 50s, they thought they were living at this pace that was modern and incredible. Who would have thought 50 years later, or how many years later, pace that we're living at today and the amount of information that's being poured into your brain every day? You know, it's crazy. You need some time and to sit down. And I have lots of friends that do this. It's just not for me. But sit down and get away from everything, get into the quiet, and open that book up. if people weren't buying books, there, you know, Jessica wouldn't have a job. All these publishers wouldn't have a job. Every day I get an email about a new garden book.
It's just, look, we need the Barnes and Nobles of the world. You need Amazon dropping it off at your front porch, and you need the New York Times bestsellers list. I get all that, and I want it to work. But man, I just, there's so much information. I mean, you go on YouTube. I mean, even what you do with your videos. I mean, there's so much information, and that's why I think this show is so successful, because people can call in, and that's what we want them to do right now, to talk to Doug about gardening. 866-391-1020. We'll get to a break in about a minute, and then on the other side, all of your gardening questions. Give us a call. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I have a really cool event coming up Saturday, April 5th. I'm going to be up in Newcastle for a day-long seminar run by the Lawrence County Master Gardeners. It's called Your Best Garden Ever Symposium, and it's going to be awesome. All the information is at DougOster.com. I love talking all day now. It's just not for master gardeners. It's open to any gardener who wants to go, and there's going to be a whole host of speakers there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I love going up and seeing everybody. And as I tell Rob, I love talking to people and
doing this.
And I'm going to keep doing it until I drop dead. That's the way I'm doing it, Rob. I'm going until the very end. I'm going to be out there with people, and I love talking gardening and learning from them and talking to them. And it's just,
gardening though is a very popular topic.
Yeah, well, again, it's the same thing with reading a book. It's like, you know, my day yesterday, go out, I'm like, you know, cranking it out on the computer on a Saturday, getting ready for this show, getting ready for other things, getting everything set up on the website, all that stuff. And I just like, you know, I'm going to stop. I'm going to go out. I'm going to look at those daffodils that I worked so hard to plant in the fall.
Nice.
And I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to make a nice little arrangement. And after I made that arrangement, I took a picture and wrote about it online. And that was and I didn't have to read a whole book to do it.
You know what I notice a lot of people, very trendy people, these influencers and people that are in our business and others, are doing now more than ever? Taking walks. I see people doing their business while walking, their daily walk. I mean, that's a good thing. People getting outdoors a little bit.
That's for sure.
All right, we'll take a break as I peek out the curtains in my house.
Look, there's someone walking. I think that's a good thing.
Listen, I've become Howard Hughes.
Hello.
And I love
ding
it.
Ding, ding. Hello.
I never used to say
is anybody in there? Ding, ding. Ding, ding. I'm not answering the door.
Listen, when the newspapers start to pile up, then you can come in. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, check some sports, and then your calls. Come on. All about gardening. And then next hour, people love cooking, too. It's rotisserie chicken recipes today with your multi-talented Rob Pratt, your Pratt Pack. Stay with us. All right, right to work we go. Here's Kathy in Imperial. Kathy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm on this kick now where I want to plant a perennial flower garden, and I have like a bank that I want to do this on. It's like 20 feet wide, but it'd be about 5 feet deep with flowers. And like gladiolas at the back, and then, you know, maybe some black-eyed Susans and some, but I have no knowledge on how to do it, or like, where would I begin? Like,
you have to begin with, the soil in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Get compost probably brought in, because you're going to need a lot. You're probably going to need at least 3 yards, I think, for that. And 3 yards would be 3 pickup truckloads. So you get that delivered, get pure compost, the good stuff, put that on there, till that in, was probably the way most people would do it. Then the world is your oyster. You can put any plants you want in there. Think about possibly using a garden designer, garden landscape person.
I actually thought of that, because I don't think I would do. I mean, I would love that space to be filled with flowers, but then perennials, so that they just come up every year, you know.
I have someone for you. Send me a message through my website, DougOster.com. Once you get that soil in place, you can do anything you want, and I'll turn you over to a good garden designer and see if you guys can work something out. If not, start read a little bit about design. It's basically how you're going to be looking at this bed and, you know, tall things in the back, shorter things in the front. But there's a lot more to it than that. I'm not good at design. But reach out to me. Reach out to me, and we'll set you up, and we'll see what we can work out for you, and take it from there. Plan on trying to get some compost. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
All right, let's go quickly here. Just a couple of minutes left. Here's Will in McDonald, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Hey, there's a house down the road, a little piece down the road from me. Now, last year, I've noticed, huge, beautiful plant they had with huge, beautiful flowers. And I finally caught the people the other day and asked them about what it was. They said it was a hibiscus. And they said you have to get hibiscus that is suitable for this climate.
Right.
And that's all she could tell me. She says, anytime you go to buy a hibiscus, she says, make sure you ask them that you want one for this climate.
Yeah, so
really, I don't want to just go to a nursery or someone having them sell me anything. I need to know what plant that is.
Okay, so there's two types of hibiscus. There's tropical and perennial. And when you go to the nursery, you tell them, I want the perennial version. And there's going to be lots of choices for you. You have to decide how big you want it to be and what color the flower should be. And once you decide that and you look at what they have, then you'll be set. You'll be able to do your thing. There's nothing to it.
Now, do you have to plant two of them?
Nope. You just got to plant one, and it'll do its thing. It'll flower for you year after year. It's a great plant.
She mentioned something about, like, a dinner plate blooms.
That's what they call them, because that's the size of them, the size of a dinner plate. So go to your local nursery, tell them what you want, and there'll be lots of options for you. We're going to take one more call. Thanks so much. We've just got a minute left.
Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, is this Cactus Jack Pratt and Life is a Garden, Dig It, Doug Oster?
That's him. You better go, man. We're out of time. What's the question?
If I get those seeds you're selling.
Yeah, I'm not selling them. I'm not selling them.
No, not selling them.
I'm giving them away.
Yeah. If I get them, I can sit on, if I'm, you know, like I said, I'm lazy. I can sit on them for, they ain't going to go bad, right?
Right. You got to store them, right, though. You got to store them in a dry place, like in a mason jar, that sort of thing.
Okay, Doug, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right, Doug, take us home.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
Rotisserie chicken recipes, so get on the line with some great ideas, and you may be taking home a gift certificate from Coons Market, that special place in your neighborhood. Rob, next with the news at 8, and then Frank Dentisi.